This product is rated everyone 10 and up.
Welcome to the seventh episode of the Civilization 5 podcast series. I'm Elizabeth Toby, and today Ed Beach, lead AI and gameplay programmer, and John Schaefer, lead designer, shed some light on one of the most important aspects of Civilization gameplay, battles and combat. As I'm sure you are well aware of by now, combat in Civ 5 is different from any other game in the series. Units don't automatically die if they lose a battle. They're arranged units, and only one unit can occupy a tile at a time. And that short list is only scratching the surface of what combat is in the game. Such a drastic change surely was not made without serious thought and planning, and considerable inspiration.
Yeah, that's a big one. The combat is probably going to be the element of Civilization V that stands out most for people in terms of how it's different from previous games. In previous games, you would have large stacks of units on single tiles, and you would send large stacks after other players as large stacks in cities. That's kind of a Civ staple in some ways. But we're actually going a different direction with that. We're introducing something called one unit per tile, where well, only one military unit can occupy a tile at one time. So what you'll see a lot more is units that have to work in concert with one another and front lines and that sort of thing. Just concepts that haven't been in Civilization before. Additionally, there's a couple other big changes we're making. We're introducing ranged combat to the game. This is something that was in Civilization 3, but we're really expanding on it, and in combination with one unit per tile, it's really adding a lot more to the game. So that's another thing we're really excited about, and in order to accommodate the one unit per tile system, we've also made it so that cities can defend themselves even without a unit stationed there. So that makes them a little bit harder to take, and also kind of swings things a little bit in the direction of defense, where you're not going to be completely screwed if somebody breaks through your front line.
I think the other thing to add is combat is now non-lethal. So when you attack a unit, he can sit and take that attack and still be in place and ready to continue to defend that terrain in case someone else is going to come after him. So what you want to do is oftentimes to break an enemy line, use two or three units in conjunction with each other, sometimes setting up a ranged attack to soften them up ahead of time. So there's a lot of kind of positional strategy in trying to get your attack set up just right and having the right combination of two or three units to go in to take a key hex.
John jumped into a topic that's a big one for a lot of people. Combat is now not automatically the death of your unit. This not only significantly changes strategy, but also adds value to each unit. Since you can upgrade units as they gain experience and as you gain new technologies, a good player will find that they are still using their original warrior hundreds of turns into the game, albeit upgraded, but still the same unit. Keeping these units up to snuff takes more than just skill in battle, however.
I think one thing that's very different with the new combat system is you have to look at each of the targets that you're going after and kind of really analyze the terrain around them. A city that's in the middle of an open plain where you can get to it from all six sides is a much easier nut to crack than one that's on the coast, maybe with a mountain range blocking access to it from one direction. Since you really need to use those joint attacks where you have two or three units cooperating together out of a couple different hexes to take down a city, it's going to be really tough in those areas where the terrain is restricted. And you may have to, especially as the game progresses and you start building up your navy, use your naval units, maybe some of your range units, and the ranges get longer and longer as the game goes on, along with the land units, and that combination may be what you actually use to take down a city.
Yeah, something that we wanted to make sure of is that naval units were more significant in this game. So something that we've done is all of the naval units are now ranged, and they can actually hit on land as well. So they can bombard cities directly, they can bombard units on the land directly. So if you have a large navy and the enemy doesn't, you have a pretty big advantage because you can roll up with your fleet and blow stuff up, and he's not going to be able to do much about it. In terms of overall philosophy, something that we wanted to do with Civ 5 and combat was in a lot of ways to reward action over inaction. So you'll see that there are some defensive bonuses, and certainly stationing units in terrain and setting things up appropriately is important. But the commander who can put all the elements in his favor and build up an advantage on one side in terms of what units are stationed where, or if you have an advantage in range units and can soften up the front line, it's much better to go into a war with an active strategy, whether on offense or defense, rather than just set units in fixed locations and then rely on them being strong enough to hold out forever. And that was something that you could do a lot of times with stacks, because if you had a big enough stack with enough defensive modifiers, then the enemy could just never break through it. You were almost, impenetrable.
Without stacks, another pressing question for Civ players is, what about my cities? Now, you can only have one unit defending each city, which at face value makes them sound weak and ineffective. However, combat is not always offensive. Cities can now defend themselves, and you can build up good defenses that will bolster their attacks and make them able to ward off even the heaviest of sieges. If you're good enough, that is.
As we mentioned, the cities can now defend themselves. So like units, they have hit points. They actually have more than units, because we didn't want them to fall too quickly. And they can be attacked both by range units as well as melee units like swordsmen or riflemen or whatever. So they're able to take some amount of abuse. And if you support your city, it can actually hold off against an offensive. In terms of the city itself, it actually has a ranged attack as well, so it can shoot at incoming enemies and damage them or destroy them like another unit can. So they can be pretty dangerous in that manner. You have to make sure you have enough units to break through and also to lay siege to the city while it's shooting at you. In terms of offense, you have to counter those advantages. You generally want ranged units that can hit it from a distance and do damage and wear it down so that your melee units, when they actually go and attack the city directly, don't take as much damage. If you have, let's say, just bunches and bunches of swordsmen, you might be able to take a city, but you might suffer casualties or be seriously weakened by that. Whereas if you have a more mixed force with ranged units, especially siege units like catapults, you can knock the city down and take fewer losses that way.
I think the last thing to add is that over time, if you're worried about defending your cities, you can upgrade them with a bunch of different buildings that can be put in the city, starting with walls. Later, you can add castles and military bases and so forth to continue to upgrade them, and that's going to make them harder to take. It's going to make their defensive attack back out of the city stronger. So even if you know that a certain city is on the border of your empire and very likely to come under attack, you can plan ahead for that and go ahead and buff up its defenses so that it's not as vulnerable as it might be just sitting out there unprotected.
It's one thing to talk about these combat changes and to explain how everything works, but it's another entirely to wrap your head around everything that John and Ed are saying. Since many old Civ tactics are now thrown out the window, I let the experts give a bit of insight into how new players can jump into combat in Civilization V with some good strategies under their belt.
I think the first thing to keep in mind is that you're going to want to use multiple units in conjunction, like we were mentioning. And a key part of that is that there's now a flank bonus that is given to an offensive player when he has additional units that are adjacent to the defender, and then he makes an attack with one of those units. So it actually also applies in defense. If the person attacking you is surrounded by a bunch of your defending units, you also get the same bonus. So in general, thinking about the positional game of where your units are any of them vulnerable to being flanked on two or three sides, in all those types of situations, your units are not going to perform as well and you're not going to be as effective. But if you can get those bonuses working for you, then you're going to have a much easier time.
As an extension of that, we mentioned that ranged units are a significant addition. They're actually fairly weak in melee combat, though. So if somebody can get a melee unit into range to attack them, especially fast units like knights or horsemen or whatever, then they're very vulnerable to that. So you want to make sure that your ranged units are protected and they're not in the direct line of fire. Something that we have in Civ 5 is a form of zone of control. Players who've played maybe earlier versions of Civ or other strategic games that have that element will be familiar with that. But what that means in our game is if you move a unit from one tile adjacent to an enemy to another tile adjacent to that same enemy, it uses up your turn, no matter how many movement points you have. Normally, most units in our game have at least 2 movement points, so you're losing some that way if that's your first move. It really restricts your flexibility, so you want to deal with units on the front, and you can't just slip through somebody's lines and get into their weak rear where they have ranged units or whatever.
Now it's time to switch gears. We're still talking about combat, mind you, but in an entirely different light, because Civilization V is going to have a multiplayer component like none you've ever experienced in the past. For those of you who are now on the edge of their seats, I don't want to get your hopes up. We're not talking about the nitty-gritty of multiplayer quite yet. However, Ed and John do have tips on how to approach combat when facing off against other Civ players.
I think the most important thing is to keep in mind that the tactics are going to be very important. You can't just stroll up with a big mass of units and expect to win against another human opponent, especially. They'll know how to defend against that, and they'll be ready to beat that. So you have to make sure you're paying attention to what's going on the map and station your units appropriately. I also think scouting is going to be a big deal, because instead of having a big stack that just appears out of nowhere, you're going to be able to see a large wave of units coming in advance. Especially against a human player, you want to be prepared for that. So having units stationed at different parts of the map near you in order to spot that big incoming wave will be really important. You're not going to be able to hide your huge invasion force. It's going to be all spread out, waiting for everybody to see it. And something else I mentioned is that I think boats will also be significant. They are ranged units, so they're fairly powerful. And if you can gain an advantage there or build up a fleet when somebody isn't expecting it, you could have a large advantage that somebody isn't prepared for. So I think using the naval game will also be significant in multiplayer.
Terrain certainly plays a role. I mean, defending in any kind of rough or restricted terrain like hills or forest or jungle, or even behind a river. So if the attacker is coming across a river, that's going to provide a defensive bonus. Units out in the open are actually more vulnerable to attack.
Yeah, that's something new, which is they're weaker than, you know, they get a penalty for being on flat land. So you really want to be careful where you put your units.
And then there's some units that don't get to take advantage of the defensive bonuses, like mounted units and so forth, that those fast moving units. So they're certainly very useful in combat, especially to get around in the enemy's rear, but you have to be very careful to protect them.
Yeah, because ranged units are so important, something to keep an eye out for are hills. Hills allow your ranged units, if stationed on them, to shoot over other obstacles. So normally, if you have a very dense forest, your ranged units aren't going to be able to shoot as far as they normally can. However, if they're on a hill, they can actually restore their range. So identifying hills and getting your ranged units on top of them will be something that's pretty important to winning.
So take the high ground.
Yes.
If you can't put archers or other ranged units on them, at least put scouts, because then you'll at least know that the enemy's on its way.
It's going to be terrifying.
You see the big...
Yeah. So in your multiplayer game experiences, what's been, your reaction? You see these giant, massive units coming towards you. What do you do at that point?
You quit.
Rage quit. You heard it here, folks.
In case you didn't recognize him, that's Pete Murray, marketing associate at Firaxis. He's always got the best one-liners during our podcasts. I started out this podcast by saying that I'd only scratched the surface of combat. Even now, we still haven't gone into everything that combat holds in Civilization V, but the nuances within the game will vary depending on player and playstyle. I know that I speak for the entire team when I say that we are eagerly awaiting launch day, when we can read everyone's strategies and exclaim, "I can't believe I've never thought of that." This concludes the 7th episode of the Civilization V podcast. Join us next time, where we'll be talking about in-game AI.